Today's program is proudly brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Visit wholefoodsmarket.com or download the Whole Foods Market app to learn more and find the store nearest to you.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
This is Cynthia Cherish Malloran, Reverend and DJ Cherish the Love, and you are listening to Wedding Cake on Heritage Radio. Before I forget, let me tell you how to reach out to me and get my attention on social media, Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook, at DJ Cherish the Love, and that's love spelled L-U-V. And you can hashtag using Wedding Cake, all one word, Heritage underscore radio, and hashtag RevLove. So welcome to the 13th episode of Wedding Cake, officially kicking off our second season. Thank you. Audience. Comes out of nowhere. I love it. And this means I've got a lineup of new guests and all-star guests, but most importantly, this means a whole new season of Yummy Cake. So for those who might be just listening for the first time, this show, Wedding Cake, is a sweet revenge on my own wedding day years ago, when I didn't get to have cake because I eloped in Vegas. And that marriage didn't work out, but I still love weddings. I love DJing them. I love writing the ceremonies and officiating them. I even love coordinating surprise marriage proposals around New York City. So go to my website, djcherishthelove.com. That's love spelled L-U-V. And reach out to me if you are planning on popping the question, because I can coach you. And together we can make it epic. And the best part of this show, like I said, every week we get to eat wedding cake on air. And because I'm not bitter and I love love, I decided I should have my cake every week and eat it too. No. So if you need a DJ for your wedding or want me to officiate and write your ceremony, hit me up and check out our previous episodes of Wedding Cake on iTunes and Stitcher. Yeah, and I can't believe it's season two. We've had 12 fun episodes happen so fast and they just zipped by. And we've given lots of great advice with mouthfuls of cake. So be sure to tune in and subscribe on iTunes and find the previous shows on Stitcher and heritageradionetwork.org. So speaking of DJing, I, DJ Cherish the Love, am Whole Foods New York City's official DJ. So come hang and eat and listen to my select tunes every first Tuesday of every month, 6 to 8 p.m. Bryant Park, New York City. September was great. We had other DJs and event planners come through to say hi, so I hope to see you at the next Whole Foods DJ night, October 3rd, 6 to 8 p.m. Whole Foods Bryant Park, New York City, Harbor Bar. You can also find me as resident DJ at New York City's coolest, hottest new bar, lounge, restaurant in the West Village, Urban Vegan Kitchen. I am there Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, and Saturdays, and I spin classics and unsigned indie artists, so please send me your tracks, and I'll put it out into the world. Send to DJ Cherish the Love, love spelled L-U-V, at gmail.com. And for more info on that, pictures and all that good stuff, follow me on Instagram at DJ Cherish the Love. So you might remember my voice from my previous show on Heritage Radio Network, called Primary Food. It hasn't gone away. It still very much lives, so search for it on iTunes and Stitcher because there are many, many gems about life and creativity and my healing from cancer. I will be back on the Primary Food, but since we are entering the beautiful autumn wedding season, I figured we should just keep on having cake and talk about love. So listeners, listen up. You can call in live right now, 718-497-2128. I'll say that again. 718-497-2128. This show, Wedding Cake, is produced by Heritage Radio Network, a nonprofit member-supported radio station devoted to all things food. Help keep Heritage Radio Network alive by becoming a member today. Go to heritageradionetwork.org and click on the beating heart to donate. Do it now and I'll love you forever. So today's guest and co-host, I am focusing on love for our brides. And what does that mean? That means we're shining light on women's health issues and spotlighting some badass females doing their thing. So our guests today represent not only gastronomical allies to the wedding industry, but they are also badass women in the food and events industry doing their thing. So today's first guest and co-host, an all-star from season one. She made the gorgeous cake for us last season with the wedding cake topper cut out of wood, was it?
It was.
It was, yeah. And you used Bob's Red Mill flour.
Always. Awesome. We always use Bob's.
She made that wedding cake. And we're nibbling on some cake-like substance, a donut that you brought in from your bakery. The awesome Dawn Pascal. Hey.
Hi. Hello, hello.
Owner of one of the coolest bake shops I know, Om Sweet Home Bakery. 100% vegan and gluten-free, soy-free, palm oil-free, organic, non-GMO bakery in Cliffside Park, New Jersey. And also the creator of an amazing vegan butter.
Yes.
What is that called again?
It is called Om Sweet Home's non-dairy butter alternative.
Mm.
Yeah, you know, it's not
it's so
fun,
yummy.
But the name is not is, fun, but yeah, but it tastes, yeah, we love it. We love it.
It is
Thank
delicious.
You.
It's so weird to say I snack on this butter. And I think you do too, right?
I do. Shh, don't say anything.
So you're back.
I'm back. Thank
Hello.
You. I'm so happy to be here.
We are also on the big little screen together.
We are.
Or little big screen.
Yep.
We recently shot an episode of a foodie web series I'm the host of called The Veggie Hunter. You can find it on YouTube and subscribe. Dawn's episode can be found on YouTube now if you search Veggie Hunter. And we have episodes with Adam Sobel from Cinnamon Snail and the owners of John's on 12th Street. And we just shot with Pamela Elizabeth. And by the way, this episode and all of the episodes of Veggie Hunter are about awesome people who make delicious food that just so happens to be vegan. So you don't have to be vegan to watch or eat at the places. You just have to be hungry and want the best. So have you seen your episode yet?
I did.
Did you love it?
Yeah. About 15 times I watched it. And I think that was in like the first half hour. Yeah. No, I loved it. I loved
it.
And
it was great.
I really, really, really had a blast with everybody. It was a lot of fun.
So
it was
so much fun. Dawn makes woke cakes. What does that mean?
You know, I don't know. You know, so when I was on the show, you know, your season finale last season, Michelle turned around and just started to say that the wedding cake that I had made was woke. And after I picked myself up off the floor from laughing so hard, I make woke cake. And I think it was because I used beet in the buttercream.
Oh,
and
right.
She was like, what do you... using
instead of dye
beet instead of dye
like food dye,
but it also the beet kind of adds a nice sort of warm taste that kind of counters a little bit of the sweetness, but it doesn't really taste like beet. But yeah, but
woke
it makes it
cakes
pink.
Hashtag woke cakes.
Woke cake. Yeah, that's it.
Because typically what's red dye in food? I mean, it just seems so
chemicals.
Okay. Yeah, symbol.
Yeah,
chemicals.
So either you use beet juice, right? Or yeah, you know, there's probably a couple of other things that we could do to kind of make a red color, but I think beet powder is like the best.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah. I would have never thought of
that. And it's pretty.
Tell us about the wonderful cake you've brought us today.
Yeah, so today we have chocolate espresso sugared donuts.
Yeah.
Which, of course, we roll in our butter first, and then we roll it in an espresso sugar.
And all of it is vegan. No dairy.
Nope.
All yummy.
Yes.
Yummy, yummy.
Thank you.
So this thing about wedding cakes being donuts. So I am doing a wedding in a month and a half, and they are not cutting a cake. The couple is cutting a donut.
That's cute.
And this is not the first time I've heard about this year alone. What do you think about that?
What? You know, okay, so the first thing that I think of is sort of the symbol of the donut being round and kind of like the symbol of the ring, and it's
right.
All sort of, yeah, like the life together. So I think that's really cute, and donuts are fabulous, so you can't go wrong with a whole stack
of
donuts.
How do you share that donut with 120 people?
Well, you know, hopefully they'll have more than just the one donut.
And they make these little slices. They're just, no, I'm kidding.
No.
You're looking at me like,
no, they
horrible.
Bite it and they pass it to the left. That's what they do.
So this chocolate donut, I mean, why did you choose this combination? And, well, everyone likes things rolled in sugar, but tell us about the creation of this donut.
Yeah, so we wanted to do something that, gave you the idea that you were eating a cruller, like a fried version of a donut. Obviously without frying it, right? Because we're not going to do that. We bake everything. So we came up with a chocolate batter that's a little bit different than the batter that we use for the cake. And of course, we always use Bob's Red Mill gluten-free all-purpose blend. We love it. And we add a couple of different spices to it, and then we bake off the donuts. But then after, right before they're almost like cool, then we roll it around in our butter, and then we roll it in the sugar. So with doing that, it kind of gives you that unctuous kind of crunch, which makes you feel like you're eating a fried cruller, but you're really not.
I just can't concentrate because you said fried. You said butter. You're saying
and I
all
used
these
the
other
word
words.
Unctuous.
You
said unctuous. Do not ask me how to spell it. I don't know how to spell the word, but I like it, though. I like the word.
And you're located in Cliffside Park, Jersey.
Yes.
Very accessible. So tell us about that area and what's popping up there.
So, yeah, I mean, it seems to be a, you know, little town that's 1 square mile that's about 20 minutes north of Hoboken, and everybody pretty much knows Hoboken in Hudson County. So it's sort of the beginning of Bergen County. I moved there 2 years ago. It's totally going through its transformation. There's a huge new residential complex that's going up across the street. And as I sort of scouted around and always had my eye out on, you know, commercial spaces or properties along their main street, which is Anderson Avenue, I found the space, and, you know, it all boom, boom, boom kind of came together. So, you know, it was faster than I had expected that it would.
It's what you wanted, Dawn.
Yeah.
You asked for it.
Well, you know, I've been asking for it for a while, right? So it's about time. but they're going through their transformation. So, you know, I'm happy to be part of that movement.
Right.
In a different direction for them. It's a little bit of a sleepy town, but it's really adorable. And there's lots of, you know, different demographics that are moving to the neighborhood, all of which are traveling and coming to the bakery, knock on wood, you know, which is really exciting.
Well, you've got great coffee.
Thank you.
To compliment. You have also cakes. You've got biscuits. I mean,
we have brownies.
You have brownies.
We have cupcakes.
You've got it all.
We make parfaits. Yeah, we have a lot of stuff.
Why
yeah.
do you love baking? Have you ever been asked that as a baker?
Interesting. So I will fess up. I actually like to cook.
Oh.
No, I love to bake too. Don't get me wrong.
Like,
don't get me wrong. Everybody's looking at me like, what? Yeah. So I guess it's because baking is so scientific, and it's so pre-measured, and it's so precise. The 20 something years that I spent as being a project manager makes sense that I actually went into baking, but I've always loved to cook. So,
okay, yeah, this is so interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you give me your understanding of the difference between baking and cooking?
Sure. Cooking is you can do whatever you want, and you can throw a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and hopefully, fingers crossed, it comes out right, right? Or you can improvise a little bit on a recipe and make it a little bit spicier, or make it a little bit thicker or looser, or, you know, throw it over a different, you know, quinoa instead of rice. I mean, like, there's so many different ways you could be creative. Baking, yeah, not so much.
I think I figured out why earlier before the show started. I said I'm not that good at baking, and I think it's because I bake the way people cook.
Yeah, no, you can't really do that.
It's just a little bit more flour.
There's
no?
there are times when it works,
uh-huh,
right?
Uh-huh.
And then, but those are really few and far between. Yeah.
It has to be
way more precise. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm very like rogue when it comes to baking and things like that. And I'm like, why did this come out like a dry brick?
Right.
So do you have a favorite thing that you like to bake?
Wow. Yeah. I guess it would be cakes.
Yeah.
Because that allows me to then be creative. So that's that whole left brain, right brain side thing.
Cake brain.
Yeah. Cake
it's just
brain,
cake brain.
Or, which is all the whole
all
top.
The whole brain.
The whole front is cake brain. So I love to do cakes because then that gives me my opportunity to then be creative and, you know, experiment with the type of buttercream that we're using or colors naturally using turmeric or using butterfly pea powder, which makes
but
it blue.
But this is a buttercream that's not with butter.
That's correct.
It's with butter.
Buttercream.
Buttercream.
Yeah. Yes, butter.
And the base of your butter is?
Coconut.
Coconut.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's so yummy. Challenges of owning a business as a woman. What's the du jour?
Challenges of owning a business. It's all on you. That's got to be the biggest, you know. And sometimes I have to remind myself that every day. Hey, it's all on you. So if you're not getting more clients, or you're not getting more sales, or you're not coming up with new products, or you're not, you know, experimenting with something else, or you're not trying to reach out and make a connection via another avenue. I mean, there's so many different examples that I can give. Then, you know, you're not going to be bringing that back to the shop, right? Mm-hmm. In the form of income.
Revenue. I think that's a perfect segue into this that you've got in your hands right here that you can explain to us.
Got my hands in some butter.
You've got your hands in some butter.
Right.
So tell us about this. Is it a fundraiser? Is it?
It is. It's a crowdfunding campaign. So I met one of the founders of I Fund Women. Karen Kahn, fabulous woman, had a wonderful conversation and, you know, went to her really with this campaign or this need that I have of wanting to bring our butter to a larger scale. So how do you do that? Right. So either you're lucky enough that your parents throw you, you know, some money, or, you know, you partner with another business, or you get some investors, or you ask the population or the crowd to help you bring yourself to the next level. And it made sense for multiple reasons why to go with I Fund Women is one, they're hugely supportive of female entrepreneurs. So why would I not want to showcase, you know, our campaign on their platform? And two, just, you know, supportive sort of from the whole back end as well. Mm-hmm. You know, from the, hey, do you want me to make an introduction to this person, or make a connection to another business, et cetera? And et cetera, et cetera. There are other reasons too. So I had a wonderful conversation with Karen, and literally, probably I'd say within the month, they were doing the video for me, and we launched the campaign. So the campaign, the basis to the campaign is, if the population is asking me, and we get phone calls all the time at the bakery, the farthest geographically was from Washington. And when I asked the woman on the phone, "You mean D.C.?" She said, "No, Seattle." And I said, "Oh,
they want your butter.
They want the butter in Seattle, Washington.
But you need help producing it.
How in God's green earth am I going to get the butter to Seattle, Washington?"
I see.
So I said, "Okay, let me take a step back, formulate what the basis of the campaign is, okay, and kind of break down that butter growth into small, manageable pieces. Sure, would I love to ask for, and I'll be honest, $250,000 and build my own small facility and have my own fulfillment and shipping and et cetera, et cetera? Yeah, absolutely. I would love to do that, you know, but maybe I should break it into a piece that's a little bit more manageable for me." And that's what the campaign is. So it's on ifundwomen.com/projects/homesweethome. So my company name without any dashes. We have about 2 weeks left to the campaign. I am asking for $15,000. That $15,000 will allow me to hire and grow the set of core labor that will be dedicated to producing the butter. It will also help me with changing the packaging, and also with buying all of the equipment and products, boxes, et cetera, that I need to start the shipping.
And you are a one-woman shop.
I'm it.
You are it.
Yeah. I mean, so I have a wonderful staff, don't get me wrong. But they are really dedicated to the pastry side of it, right? They're wonderful. They help run the retail piece in the front, but I'm it. Yeah.
So if you're listening and you can support and help Dawn grow, because this butter, why should this butter be out there?
Well, there's nothing on the market like it. It melts, spreads, whips, acts, tastes exactly like butter.
It actually tastes better, in my opinion. It has a tang.
It does.
And I love that. And that's why I keep snacking on it. It's so weird.
No, I mean, I'm ridiculously proud of the product. And when we started to make it in-house, because there was nothing on the market that I wanted to use as butter cream for our vegan cakes, we made our own. And then when people started to ask for it and say, "Hey, well, why don't you package that and sell that?" I was like, okay, let's try it. And we did, and it caught on and on and on and on and on. And we rebranded, and I rebranded it in sort of the likes of our new logo. I wound up opening up the storefront the beginning of this year. So it all sort of came together. And we're in about 20 different small specialty markets all around New York, New Jersey, Brooklyn, Long Island. And
you're local.
We're local. Yeah. We're real local.
You need to grow.
Yeah.
So we want to help you grow.
Thank you.
Say that URL one more time.
It's ifundwomen.com/projects/omsweethome.
Okay. We're going to post that also.
Thank you.
We'll spread the word, and hopefully we can get some more people jumping in on your campaign, because it's a wonderful thing.
Thank you.
If you are in Cliffside Park, New Jersey, visit Om Sweet Home. If you mention Wedding Cake, this episode, Heritage Radio Network, you will get a free...
A donut and a hug.
Hey! Can't go wrong with a free donut and a hug.
Yay!
So we're going to take a little break from our to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be back with our second guest, very special guest. It's always a treat to have you here in the studio, Dawn.
So happy
feeding
to
my
be
belly.
Here.
You're going to co-host with me this next half.
Okay.
Today's program is proudly brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Whole Foods Market believes in seeking out local, fresh, and seasonal food, and in supporting local farmers, makers, and the community as a whole, economically and agriculturally. Whole Foods Market believes in food that is vivid and colorful, fresh and full of nutrients. Food that connects you to your body, the seasons, and to nature. Food that helps you do more, sleep better, and wake up happier. Found in over 400 locations throughout the United States, Whole Foods Market only sells food that meets their standards, which means no artificial colors, flavors, preservatives, or sweeteners, ever. Whole Foods Market believes in real food. Visit wholefoodsmarket.com or download the Whole Foods Market app to learn more.
I'm a fan of Whole Foods, for obvious reasons. Again, come visit me, DJing there, Harbor Bar, first Tuesday every month, 6 to 8 p.m. Welcome back. So this dedicated episode of Wedding Cakes for the Brides, for the love of women, and it is an honor to have my next guest back as well, from Cher. Cher empowers women to take control of their health. They help women learn to communicate with their doctors so they can make informed health decisions. And they are hosting their annual event, Second Helping of Life. And we've got with us, well, let me give a little history first. September is Ovarian Cancer Awareness Month. Over 20,000 women are diagnosed with ovarian cancer annually. Approximately 13,000 die from the disease every year. And October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. There are approximately 246,000 new cases of invasive breast cancer each year in the U.S., and 40,000 people will die from the disease. And there are no routine screening tests for ovarian cancer, and symptoms are often misdiagnosed. So we have Cher here to talk about the event, the participating chefs for this year's event, A Second Helping of Life. We've got an amazing list. Again, Angie Marr, who we had last year from the Beatrice Inn, Lynn Bound from 54 Below, Rebecca Charles from Pearl Oyster Bar, Amanda Cohen from Dirt Candy, Diane Forley from Meringue Shop, Alex Guarnaschelli from Butter, Abigail Hitchcock from Kamahe, Patty Jackson from Delaware and Hudson, Sarah Jenkins from Porchetta and Porcena, Abigail Kirsch and Allison Orbuck from Abigail Kirsch Catering, Sarah Beth Levine from Sarah Beth's, Amy Sherber from Amy's Bread, Barbara Sibley from La Palapa, Roxanne Spruance from Kingsley, Sue Torres, Jessica Weiss from Myelino, Melba Wilson from Melba's Restaurant, and joining us today in studio is Sawa Okochi from Shalom Japan. Hey.
Hello.
Hi, and also with us is Melissa Sacco.
Hey.
From Cher. So, you know, tell us about Cher and the importance of this event that's happening in a few days. Monday.
Sure. Yeah. Thanks for having me. So Share was started 41 years ago, and it began as just a single support group run and facilitated by breast cancer patients who realized that with the help of their breast surgeon that they didn't have anywhere else to go to talk about the social and emotional aspects of the disease. You know, we hear a lot about the medical aspect of things and making treatment decisions, but breast cancer and ovarian cancer really affect you in a lot of different ways. And so they started a support group to talk about these things, and then it turned into a helpline. They had a rotary phone in someone's Amazing. Closet and took Amazing. Phone calls from all over New York City. And then they started engaging in advocacy activities. A lot of people don't know, actually, but a long time ago, if you were diagnosed with breast cancer, your employer could penalize you for missing work, for things related to your treatment. And so they started marching and being advocates for women with the disease. And then now 41 years later, here we are, and we're an organization with national reach. So it's really exciting. We provide support and education for women with breast and ovarian cancer. And we also focus on women with metastatic breast cancer, stage 4 breast cancer. They have a kind of a different set of needs than early stage breast cancer. And we do the helpline still. We do our support groups. We do educational programs. So our mission is really to empower these women to make the best decisions for themselves.
And feel like they're not alone.
Exactly. Exactly.
The helpline. So that's 24 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and,
it is.
And what is that number? We should put that at the top of this.
844 ask share.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and you can be matched with a peer who's going through something exactly like you. So if you call in and you say, hey, I'm stage 1, I'm a young mom, I don't know what to do, we can match you with a peer who was also diagnosed at stage 1, who was a young mom, so that we can get someone who has a very similar situation to you to advise on the specifics.
I need to know more about that, because as a breast cancer survivor myself, I could have used more helplines, and now on this side of it, I can help on the helpline side. So I'll talk to you about that, Melissa.
Great.
So on Monday, mm-hmm. 18 women chefs are going to serve their signature dishes
yes.
at Pier 60, Chelsea Piers, 7 o'clock to 9:30 PM. So tell us about that. And the sous chefs.
Yes. So this is an awesome event. Every year we get dozens of female chefs to come in, and it's really the only night that they're all together in one room. The restaurant industry is a really male dominated industry.
Right.
So it's really an exciting experience for all of them to just kind of be together in one place. We've been doing it for 14 years, and it's awesome. There is so much delicious food. You just kind of wander around, you know, getting really, really full on
yeah.
all kinds of deliciousness. And there's beverage sponsors, so there's yeah. drinks. And then there's an auction at the end. And we have celebrity sous chefs who are local celebrities who assist the chefs and pass out. So you can check our website at sharebenefit.org and find out who's going to be there. So you might meet someone famous.
I was there last year for my first time.
Oh, nice.
And I was walking by eating, stuffing my face.
We
like,
all
wait
do that.
A minute. That's Sade Butter-en-Moi.
Yes,
from
she's coming
the news.
Back this year.
And this is this person. And I was like, hey, what's happening here? And I didn't realize you had celebrity sous chefs. And that
yes.
is such a treat.
Yeah. Becky Ann Baker is my personal favorite. She plays the mom on Freaks and Geeks and the mom
yes.
on Girls.
Yes.
I grew up watching Freaks and Geeks. And
I
so then when
it.
I found out she was coming, I couldn't believe it. So she'll also be there.
That is very special. You know, you said it's the one night of the year that all these women chefs are together in mm-hmm. one room. Tell us how people can buy tickets.
Yeah, so you can go to sharebenefit.org. We are still selling individual tickets, although they are running out, so get them quickly.
Get them quick.
Yes.
So our chef here, Sawa.
Hi.
You're participating. This
yes.
is how many years have you been doing a second helping of life?
I think this is my fourth year.
Wow.
I lost count.
And why is it important for you to participate?
It's a great cause. And, you know, it's as a female chef and, you know, female in industry, love to help, you know, these like great cause. And I don't have, you know, unfortunately, I didn't have like the breast cancer or, you know, those cancer person in my life. But I had a friend of a friend who was Japanese and who had a stage 4 and I was heard a lot about it, and then I met her and it affected me a lot. And when I first heard about this and was asked to do it, I was like, yeah, why not?
Mm.
You know.
Are you allowed to tell us what you're going to be cooking and preparing at the event?
Yeah, I'm going to be making lox oshidushi.
Oh, wait a second. That's like two completely different cultures. Let's talk about your restaurant for a second.
Good segue.
Yeah, I was like, wait a second. I think you said lox and something Japanese.
Yes.
So the name of your restaurant is?
Shalom Japan.
Shalom Japan. All right, give us a little history on that.
So it's me, Sawa, and Aaron, my husband. It's our restaurant together. We're both chefs, and we are putting together Japanese food and Jewish food.
I love it.
One.
So say your dish again. It's lox.
Oshidushi.
So what is the oshidushi part?
So you get the sushi part. It's sushi.
Yeah.
So it's rice, and oshidushi is pressed sushi. So we serve a lox bowl at the restaurant, and we came up with, like, you know, pressed version of it. So
oh, wow.
We can press it like a cake, and we can cut it in a, you know, small.
Oh, my goodness. Can someone have a seafood wedding cake, I guess? Why not?
Why not? Can we just throw in
Why not? Saba, you said that you had made a wedding cake for a client and put a dinosaur on it. So, hey, anything's possible.
I've done that.
At this point. So what is it like running a business, a restaurant for you from your point of view as a woman?
Oh, it's a mountain of work. It's just a lot of stress. Always kind of ready for something happens, you know, like everything could happen and you're kind of okay, yeah, happens.
But rewarding because you get to feed people and and be creative, that's, like that's you said, right, Dawn?
Yeah, right. Cream on top.
That's the cream on top. And then you get to do things like share. Mm-hmm. So how many people have you helped with the organization?
So I don't have a total number. I mean, I feel like it'd be pretty massive. Right now we're reaching 60,000 people every year.
That's every year.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. We have online support communities now that are reaching a lot of people. We actually we're just beginning our first in-person support groups outside of the five boroughs. We do some outreach programs in New York City, in medically underserved communities, and at consulates. So we reach a ton of women that way. And that's really exciting to me because you're reaching women who have, you know, questionable immigration status, and it's really hard for them to get healthcare, and it's really hard for them to have access to reliable medical information. So we go into these places where they're safe and they feel comfortable. And we have specially trained ambassadors who go and present information to them, in a safe environment. And we reach a lot of women, through that program too.
I actually never thought about that.
Yeah. It's kind of I was not the one who came up with that program, but I think it's a real stroke of genius because how else are these women going to know what's available to
right,
them?
Right. Because you can't just sit with your disease and, mm-hmm. and be afraid to see a doctor. Mm-hmm. I think that's just like a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
You said something about underserved communities. So what does that mean?
So medically underserved communities are communities that don't have facilities that have the best quality care. They don't have doctors who are culturally sensitive or trained in cultural sensitivity. They're communities where a lot of the women don't have access to healthcare or don't have access to high quality healthcare. So the medical community just hasn't done a good enough job really of reaching out to them and providing the services that they need. So we go in there, we have patient navigators in hospitals so that when a woman is diagnosed, she has a survivor to be the face of survivorship there with her, and can kind of help either literally translate the medical information that the doctor is giving her or just sort of break it down in a way that she can understand and then point her to the resources that she needs. If she doesn't have health insurance or she's not sure where to turn, she needs childcare to be able to go to chemotherapy or something, the navigator can help point her in the right direction.
Can you tell us about the supportive and educational services you have?
Sure. So we do educational programs. We have like a I don't know how do you divide a year into three, trimesterly schedule.
Trimesterly is a new word. Hashtag trimesterly. I love it.
Yeah. So three times a year, we have a whole new schedule of educational programs that are both online through webinars. We're doing some educational videos and in person. And they're with really high quality doctors and top medical experts who volunteer their time to provide information to the women who need it. And then we also have support groups, both in the five boroughs and now reaching out of the five boroughs, and then via the telephone too. We have a metastatic telephone support group that's really, really valuable for women with stage four disease, because it can often be difficult for them to travel if they're in treatment, to get to a support group. Maybe they're not feeling well a lot of the time. So our telephone support groups are really valuable for women like that.
This is really dear to me, obviously, for obvious reasons. But I also find that it's so beautiful that Cher has a sensitivity to different groups of women. You have mm-hmm. Latina Cher. Mm-hmm. I started reading up about that, and I'm not going to butcher it, what it is. I'm going to let you explain that because it's so special, really.
Yeah, yeah. So it's been around for 20 years, and it's an entirely Spanish language division of Cher. So all of our services are offered in both English and Spanish. And all of the Spanish language programming and support groups are also done by survivors who are native speakers, who are also trained to kind of handle the sort of cultural aspects of coping with that disease too. And there's not a lot of organizations. I think a lot of organizations, especially nowadays, are like making efforts to try to provide support in other languages besides English. But I think what's really special about Cher is that it's always been a really core part of our mission to reach the people who need it the most. And so when Latina Cher started 20 years ago, it was really tiny, and now it's grown massively. We also have a Japanese program, and we're reaching out to develop a Chinese program too. So it's a lot of exciting stuff.
Cher truly cares.
Yeah.
I think that's so gorgeous. And when you go to the event, which I hope you buy tickets to, if there's tickets available,
yes.
Again, the website to buy tickets.
Sharebenefit.org.
And you'll see all these women chefs like Sawa. Mm-hmm. Chef Sawa, what did you create the previous years?
We did a Torah toast.
Okay. Yum. So I don't know what that is, but I'm like, yum.
Let me explain it to you. So it's a Toro, you know, which is a
just
tuna belly.
Toro toast. Oh, my God.
And we mix it with a paprika oil and tobiko and all that stuff. And, like, you know, we top it on challah. We bake our own challah. And we make a toast.
Dawn
and
is passing out. The baker is passing out.
Cheese. Scallion cream cheese. And on top it was the Toro mix.
Decadent. Okay. The year before that, what did you make?
I think we did the mazamen, which is the chilled noodle with the braised short rib beef.
When did you open Shalom Japan?
4 years ago.
4 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh.
So
wow.
4 years seems to be a big turning. It seems to be a big time frame.
For development.
I started my business 4 years ago. My sister started her business 4 years ago.
Oh.
I've got like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 other friends who started their businesses. So 2013 was like a big year.
2013 people were like, I'm changing life.
Yeah.
But Sawa, you have a great story about opening your restaurant and getting married right beforehand.
Speaking of stress.
We're talking about wedding cakes. So did you have a wedding cake at your wedding?
No.
You instead had a restaurant opening.
Yes. Well, we got married two months before our restaurant opening.
You so. Like stress.
Yes.
Living
Did
on
you
the
purposely
edge.
Plan it that Would. Way?
No. Well, I wanted to marry him before we opened the restaurant, just because I wanted to be married.
Okay.
And I said, you have to marry me if you're going to open a restaurant with me.
I love it.
Wow. So it's that easy.
Yeah, Dawn.
Yeah, really?
Have not
okay.
been using the right phrases.
All right, let
phrases.
Me write that one down. If you have any other pointers, let me know.
You just bump
Hi,
into a guy.
Marry me before I open up the bakery. Okay.
Oh, you did it all backwards, Dawn.
So oh, yeah. Well,
you needed no. to meet Chef Sawa
I've been doing
beforehand.
That backwards for years. But anyway, okay, sorry.
So buy a ticket to share a second helping of life. Again, what year is this?
This is the 14th year
amazing.
Of the event.
Yeah. Amazing. And counting. Yes. Can you name some people who are going to be there, like some of the celebs, or should people just go online and find out?
yeah, so some of the celebs we have. Well, I mentioned Becky Ann Baker.
Yeah, yeah.
Shout out. Sade Baternois is going to be there. Kathleen Chalfant, who I don't know if any of you have seen a Broadway show with Kathleen Chalfant. She's amazing. She did Peter Pan.
Oh, yeah.
So she's
wow.
big. We have two of the principal dancers of the New York City Ballet are coming.
Amazing.
Oh, wow.
And then we have our usual all-star lineup of chefs coming too.
Oh, fantastic. And it is an all-star lineup. You'll walk around and you're like, ooh.
Yeah.
I want really what they just made
of
me.
The crop.
That's really fantastic.
Yeah.
And, you know, women issues, again, are near and dear to my heart as a breast cancer survivor. I love to focus on women's health whenever I can. I want you brides to be healthy. And dedicating this episode to a friend who is actually getting married soon and was also diagnosed. So just sending you love. Mm. So a little bit of closing facts and trivia about brides. Ooh. I've been doing some research and I found some very bizarre things. Well, maybe not bizarre, but some traditional things that I didn't know about this stuff. Do you ladies know why we put rings on our ring finger? There's a reason.
Because women were property.
Oh, that's...
Was
that's
that too dark?
No. That's way dark. But yes, in a way.
Isn't all right. That more like a ball and chain and not a ring?
I'm just thinking it's like, you know, you indicate that she's taken. Ah. She's been reserved by someone.
Melissa's
like
dark.
Scarlet letter.
Yes.
Melissa's dark.
Doesn't this have to do with the heart?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So this says everything. So I was like, it has to do with the heart.
Okay. Oh.
So it turns out your ring finger, it's your ring finger for a reason. Engagement and wedding rings are worn on the fourth finger of the left hand because it was once thought that a vein in that finger led directly to the heart.
Oh.
So David, let's get a ding, ding, ding for Sawa. She got that one. And Queen Victoria is credited with starting the Western world's white wedding dress trend in 1840. Before that, brides simply just wore their favorite dress.
Oh, and sounds kind of nice.
There came the bridal industry from that point on. Right? So brides traditionally also wear veils because ancient Greeks and Romans believed the veils protected her from evil spirits. Here's dark stuff for you.
There you go.
And the groom carries the bride across the threshold to protect her from more evil spirits.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to be thinking about evil spirits in my next wedding. You know what I mean? So the tradition of bride wearing something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue comes from an old English rhyme. Something old represents continuity. Something new offers optimism for the future. Something borrowed symbolizes borrowed happiness.
Oh.
Something blue stands for purity, love, and fidelity. So... And we're going to end on my favorite one, the tradition of wedding cake. Where do you think that comes from? I would just love to hear your guesses. Why do we have wedding cake?
I don't know. Mine was so dark last time. I don't know.
Yeah, you have a dark answer.
I don't have a dark answer.
What do you think, Sal?
Give me time
something
to Google
eat
it.
Sweet?
Well, something
and
sweet.
Be happy?
Well, something no? like that. Not.
Was it dark? Traditional wedding cake fruit cake?
Maybe for Christmas. Well,
no,
let me tell you.
Cake. Okay.
The tradition of a wedding cake comes from ancient Rome, where guests broke a loaf of bread over the bride's head for fertility's sake.
Oh, there you go.
How crunchy was this bread? Just like just smash it open on
you
her
know,
head.
Those Italian breadsticks are pretty. They're pretty brittle.
Interesting.
And you know. That is the only way I can think of ending this episode. I'm going to break bread over your heads.
With a little butter.
With a little butter.
There you go.
Please support Dawn Pascal's butter. Again, your link.
ifundwomen.com/projects/omsweethome.
Visit Shalom Japan. Where is that located?
310 South 4th Street in Brooklyn, New York.
And what should people check out on the menu? What's the favorite?
Matzo ball ramen.
Whoa. Oh, whoa. Matzo ball ramen. Oh
on
my
Thursdays,
God.
We do a late night happy hours from 10 to 12. And if you come in and get alcohol, you get free ramen.
Oh, really? My God. Now I can't.
There.
I can't focus.
What time does that start? 10.
And Melissa.
Every Thursdays.
Share the address people should go to buy tickets right now.
Sharebenefit.org.
Thank you, ladies, for joining me today.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And come back for more wedding cake.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network. Food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Heritage_Radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.